Father's Day message 2006. Good to see each one of you today. God bless. We have a lot of folks out of town. It's a pretty good crowd for a lot of folks being gone today. Good to see each one of you. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Today I want to challenge the men. Don't worry, I'll probably put a few things in for the ladies too. But Annie, I always challenge the ladies on Mother's Day, and then you guys are waiting for me to challenge the men on Father's Day. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, and verse 15. We're going to talk to you about the first man that God made and how he instructed him. Johnny, I think we can learn from the first man that God made. Notice Genesis 2, 7. How many have the Bible in Genesis 2, 7? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed, look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In other words, he wanted to be a husbandman, a farmer. He watched over, he took care of the garden and things. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for every person here, man and lady. I pray that you'll bless each one today, and even the children. And Lord, thank you for all these precious men. God bless them. And God bless their homes. And Lord, bless all the men of America, and I pray today that men in America would look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help America to be strong with men, with convictions, with faith in God. And Lord, help us now as we look to your word to learn and to grow from it, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today's Father's Day, and I want to say, may God bless all you men. Thank God for every one of you men. I'd like to share with you today, men, what God instructed the first man, Adam, when he walked on this earth, what to do. What did he tell Adam? When Adam walked on this earth, what did God tell him to do? I want to share it with you. It's my goal today to give each of you, from God's holy word, insight. I want to give you some insight to help you be a better man. Help you be a better man for God, a better man for your wife, a better man for your children, a better man for your church, a better man for your company, a better man for your country. I think we can always be better for God, amen? So today I'd like to share a few things that God spoke to Adam about. First of all, number one, man has a creator. Look at Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man, in 1:26 of Genesis, God made man in his image. Notice, and God said, let us make man in our image. Genesis 1:26. Why do you say that, preacher? I think men all over the world need to realize something, that they have a creator. Man as a creator. Man came forth by God Almighty. Man was made in the image of God. God's a Trinity. And God made man a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. And man just didn't happen by chance. Huh. There's a Big Bang theory. Life just doesn't come from a big explosion. Matter of fact, they had an explosion over there in Iraq there few weeks ago, and a guy died from it. A big bang doesn't bring life, it brings death. Hello? But this big bang theory, Eddie, they brought microcosmic little particles, and all of a sudden they got together, and then the next thing they got in water, and of course, where'd the water come from? Where'd the bank come? They said there was nothing here. Where did it all come from? Isn't it amazing? Nothing made nothing. And out of nothing, a big bang came. And then little cosmic things. You believe that, I'll take you through the twilight zone. Man didn't evolve from a monkey, even though we act like some sometimes. No, Genesis 2:7, God breathed into man the breath of life. I got thinking about that, Bobby. He got the blood, but the breath of life. We have a special thing that people call CPR. Nurse, where you blow air and bring people to life. You know who the originator of CPR was? God. God breathed breath in the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. God breathed breath in the man. I'm going to tell you right now, why am I working on this? Because I'm going to tell you, man, if you want to be a good man, you need to realize that your life and you consist by God Almighty. Any man that's an atheist can't please God. Only a fool set his heart there's no God. Amen? But man needs to, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Number one, I think man needs to know that, and Adam did know, that he had a creator. I think it has a big impression on man when he knows that he has a creator. And that also that creator became a man so he could have a savior to redeem him. God created man, and God loved his creation so much, so he became a man and became a savior of man to save man from their sin. Isn't that great? And he came down in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want to just read to you a scripture from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And he being found in fashion as a man, Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can you imagine the Creator loving his creation so much that he actually came down and became a man so he could die to redeem his creation? That's love. That's love beyond measure. Amen? Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of son. By the way, even when he made the first woman, he was planning for the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Because, see, no blood of the woman gets in the man, in the child. The seed comes from the man. That's why Jesus had, when Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost, there was no blood of tainted blood, because see, only the man's blood gets into the baby. Oh, the mother nurses it, but the baby gets the blood from their father. That's why the father, you say, they do the DNA test. You can tell who the father is. I know what type of blood Tammy and David Richard has, because I know what I have. A. I'm an A positive. Amen. You know I was positive, didn't you? There's no way I'd ever be a negative. And of course, A is the highest grade, so I'm definitely going to be a winner. Amen. I wish the school teachers would have known that when I went to school. They thought I was a D minus. But oh, we need to look up here, fellas. You need to know there's a great Almighty God. There's a Creator. And you should have a relationship with that Creator. Billy, I think any man that walks the face of the earth, that he don't have a close relationship with his Creator, he's not a complete man. Because God is the Creator of all men. And man needs to look to their Creator. Amen? And he came down in the form of a man in the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's why all people need to look to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Even in Genesis 3:15, Tommy, there was a prophecy in Genesis 3:15 about Jesus to come. Because it says in Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy of Christ, and I will put enmity between, that word enmity means stronger than hatred. I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed, talking about the double seed and Jesus' seed, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yeah, they put nails in Jesus' feet, but Jesus given a deadly blow to the devil. Amen? And see, they killed him, but they thought they killed him, but 3 days later he came back alive. He was triumphant, amen, over death, hell, and the grave, and because he was, we will be also in him. Because he lives, Annie, like you're saying, I can face tomorrow. So men, know your Creator. Know your Savior. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool, I thought about this, Tommy, the fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. Hath. That's past tense. You know why it's past tense? Because when a man dies, he stands face to face with God. He can't deny there's a God then. Hath said, because once he dies, he knows there really was a God. Can anyone say amen? I thought I'd like to read Isaiah 17:7. At that day shall man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Can anyone say amen? I think you ought to have respect to him now. Number two, in verse 8 and verse 15, God put man that he made in the garden to dress and keep it. In other words, God wants man to work. God does not want man to be lazy. Work is good for men. It's good for men to work. Now let me say this, so some people have disabilities. Some people are handicapped. They can't. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about able bodies. How many understand what I'm saying? Listen, God says, I want Adam, you're in perfect condition. You're the perfect specimen of man. I want you to work. And by the way, ladies, don't get mad at your husband for working. Quiet. Sometimes a guy can't win. He don't work, she yells. He works, since she yells. There's got to be a happy medium. Now, let me help the ladies, too. Fellas, you can work too much. There's got to be a happy medium between work and being home. If it's all work and no home, that's not right either. Does anybody hear me today? But ladies, don't discourage your husband from working. He's trying to provide for you. Anything hard of a man trying to give us all and have to be torn up both places where he goes. So let's have common sense. Amen. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. In other words, hey, do you ever see how many of you ever seen a lazy ant? You haven't seen a lazy ant because they work. He said, hey, you lazy bums. Look at those ants. You need to be like them. You ought to learn from them. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3:10 says this. This we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Brother Bud, if men don't work, they ought not eat. If you're lazy and just want, these guys that don't want to work, no one just want to lay around on the and become fat on the land, I'm going to tell you right now, they need to work. God said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's the scripture, amen? Well, listen. We need to raise up a generation of young men, like Andy and the rest of the kids, and older men and middle-aged kids, with a work ethic. Do you ever notice the old timers? Do you ever notice the old timers? They're all workers, aren't they? See, they grew up working as young kids. It's not wrong for your kids to do some work. They learned from a young age, Carl McDaniel and Bill Turner, they learned from a young age to learn to be a worker. Man, get out there and work! You know what's wrong with our kids today? They're too caught up with the computer. They're too caught up with video games. Get them out of the house! Get them out working. Have them cut the grass. Have them rake the weeds. Have them do something. Let them work. Teach them to work. Grab your kids and say, come on, we're going to go do some work today. Oh, Dad, I got to do the computer. No, forget this sacred computer. You come with me. I'm going to teach you something more better. Work! We need to raise a generation of men today and young men today that have a work ethic that will say, yeah, it's good to work. We need to know, number one, men need to know their Creator. Number two, men need to have a good work ethic. Number three, men need to know that God gave him a wife to help complete him. Notice Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 20. The Lord God said, it's not good that man be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. Adam named all the animals. How about that? You're a giraffe. You're a camel. You're an ostrich. Hello? Are you with me? Adam gave names to all the cattle. Watch verse 20. And to the fowl of the air. And to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. How many see that? Verse 18 says, it's not good that man should be alone. I want to tell you something, fellas. We need to, you that are blessed with a wife, you need to realize that God's blessed you with a wife. It's not good that man, it doesn't say it's not good that woman be alone. Did you know men need women, but women don't need men? Didn't say that. Really? Oh, they need your checkbook because they want to go shopping, but well, other than that, they don't need you, they just need your money. We need them. They might need your credit card and your money, but they don't really need you that much. But we need them. Listen, men, men need to treat their wives with love and respect. Brother Elmer, that precious wife of yours, God says to Elmer and to all the men, Tito Mal, you treat that wife with love and respect. And you women, all the women are going to say, oh, Eddie, Liz is going to say, Eddie, are you getting this? Love and respect, Eddie. How many are still with me? Men need to be kind and thoughtful to their wives. Many times men are, you're cruel and you're harsh. We ought not be that way. We ought to be considerate for them. By the way, it was not good that man be, listen. I've got to get to know Jim and Kathy real good. We're getting to spend some time with them. They're just an adorable, precious couple. And they've been married, they celebrate 18 years, I think it was a week ago or so. And I told Jimmy, I said, boy, you and Kathy was made for you. And you were made for Kathy. But I'm going to tell you, Jimmy, God knew that you needed a wife, so he completed you with Kathy. Tommy, he knew you needed her, so he gave you Annie. He gave Mike Porter Belinda. Bobby, he gave you your precious wife, Jamie. You know what? Look up here. And Stan the man carries from heaven. It doesn't cost you five either, Carrie. Look up here, fellas. I'm going to try to help you. Freddie, you're a basket case without Daphne. There's no hope for you, Freddie, without Daphne. You're a junkyard dog. You're always going to be a junkyard dog. And you need someone to help you. By the way, I'm the same way, Freddie. I'm the same way. Eddie, you need Lizzie. And every man, I'm telling you, I think a lot of times men don't realize how important, DJ, you don't realize how important how Renee is in your life. Eddie, Jeannie means the world to your life. Wade, I'm telling you, Chrissy is the queen of your life. She's going to let you know it today, too. We need to realize that our wives, Raj, are a blessing from heaven. God said he looked down, he saw Adam all by himself. He said, that guy needs help. He said, look at that guy. He reminds me of Jack Knight. He really needs help. And so God made man a woman. And by the way, it says he took her from his side, out of her rib. And they've been the pain aside all the rest of your life. No, kidding. Kidding. That was a kid, a joke. You know what's wrong with Christian marriages today? I think we failed to realize how important our wives are to us. If I could share anything with my men in my church, make sure if you're blessed with a wife, watch over her, love her, honor her, treat her with respect. Hello? Amen? We've seen so many heartaches because we don't realize what God's given us. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Hey, Bobby, that's a good thing you got going for you. You know, sometimes you can't figure out. I don't understand a thing about her. Yeah, I know, but God says it's a good thing. I don't understand them all either. Hey, Jimmy, I don't understand them all the time. But I just say, man, that's a good thing, no matter what. Obtain favor from God. Hello? Can you imagine how depressed Adam looked out and saw all those animals with their mates, and he was all by himself? God says, no, I'm gonna help you, Adam. I'm going to give you a wife. You know what, fellas? God, look up here. God gave Adam his wife. See, I believe that for everyone who gets married, I believe God has a mate for him. In June 28th, me and Rosie will be married 37 years. I believe with all my heart, I'm not just saying this, God knows my heart to be true. I know for a fact, Carl, I know this for a fact, that Rosie Cockrell was meant to be my wife. And for the last 37 years, Rosie Cockrell has been Rosie Skyver. Now, she has all the greatness. She'll have, when she gets to heaven, she'll have great reward. She put up with me. Amen? But look up here. See, that's why when you get married, men or women, when you get married, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this woman or this man is sent to me from God. And if you don't know that, you should never get married. You should know in your heart, man, I know this is from God. The average person gets married, they say, well, I'll try it out. If it works, fine. If not, 6 months, I'll get a divorce. That's not God's plan. God's plan's for to be, get married and stay married forever. Doesn't always work that way. We don't live in a perfect world. And a lot of people don't marry right. Are you with me? And sometimes you have make mistakes. Hello? Are you still with me? But, oh, I would to God. Like, when I counsel with people, people call me, will you marry me? Well, I don't know. I have to have about 5 or 6 sessions with you. Then I'll tell you. I got to know in my heart that God's in it, that you love each other, and that really is meant to be. I'm debating if I can say something. Several years ago, in this church, I was counseling with a couple, and they were going to get married, and boy, they were just going on like crazy. And I said, that's it. The wedding was like within like 3 weeks or 4. It was an older couple. I said, I'm not marrying you. Boy, they both got mad. How dare you? I said, God's not in this. I said, you're worse than little kids. I said, you can't even make it now. How are you going to make it when you're married? I said, I don't believe God's in this union. They yelled at me for about 10, 15 minutes, and they both started crying. And they said, preacher, you're right. Thank you. And the man walked out happy as a lark. He did. He really did. And she was too. Because they were going to do something that they weren't supposed to do. How many people get married that should never have been married? We need some preachers nowadays that say, hey, I don't believe God's in this. Even if it does, I don't, they do leave the church. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to marry people that I don't think God's got his hand on. Who are you? I got to stand before God. Go to somebody else down the street then. I only marry my own people. I only marry people within my own church anyways. I don't give the world a godly wedding. I only give my own membership weddings there. Why should I give the world? Why should we give the world that don't care nothing about God? Why should we give them a church wedding? Boy, you're really hard, preacher. No, I just believe if they don't want God during all the other times, why should they want God for a wedding? Now that, I only know my own people. I only have, my authority only goes to my people. So I'm just going to take care of my people who I've got authority over. Am I making sense to anybody? I take marriage seriously. I think the world needs to take marriage seriously. It says to death do you part. And I think if a lot of people would marry right at the beginning, we'd have a lot of less heartache. And then if we would apply. I want to read to you. Fellas, can I read to you something about from 2 Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 7. You need to realize something. Your wives are different than you. Let me give you an illustration. Look up here. Last Sunday afternoon, Eddie, we must have had 40, 50, 60 people on this church lot. All the kids going, and all the parents were here, and they were getting them on the vans, and Johnny, the women were just bawling. I mean, the mothers were bawling. Just bawling like crazy.
My baby's sleeping before a week.
The fathers were laughing. Yes, yes, pull out. I'll give you, go on. Get the luggage in. Let's get rid of that kid for a week. Guys were laughing and thrilled. Women were having, they were just bawling. I mean, it was tears were just dropping down like crazy. Why is that? Why can me and Jack watch a film and Rosie and Jeannie ball their heads out and me, I could be blowing up people and got parts and body parts off? We'd be saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Freddie, you and I are different than Daphne and Rosie. God made women different. Men, we ain't got to figure it out. We probably never will. But God wants you to know that they're made different. That's why he says, he called them a thing in Proverbs 18:22. A good thing. He don't know what it is, but it's good. I don't know if God figured it out yet. Probably, though. Let me read to you, Peter. 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wife them according to knowledge. Listen, when they have those tantrums and they have those problems during the week, months, and have, you got to understand that they're different than you. It might be real good sometime, and they might just, you come on there crying. What are you crying for? I don't know. I just feel like crying today. Don't yell at them. Say, man, you're an idiot. No, I'll just put your arm on and say, I know, honey, it's been rough sometimes. I love you. Let's go out to dinner tonight. don't cook. Let me take you out. I'll take you to McDonald's. I'll tell you, I would to God we'd get, fellas, I wish we'd get smart. I wish we'd get God smart. Amen? No, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together. Man, but he gave you your wife to help you through life. You're heirs together. And being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Bobby, if you and I are not good to our wives, God's not going to answer our prayers. Bruce, you better be great to Miriam. She'll beat the fire out of you. No, that's a little tiny little Philippine that she wouldn't. No, but Brother Bruce, if we're not good to our wives, God's not going to answer our prayers. How many want their prayers answered? Then we need to be right to that wife. And so, we should cherish and honor and love our woman, our wife. God's the wife that God sends us, we should love and cherish. And then we need to, in closing, man needs to be a spiritual leader of his home. He needs to be saved so he can tell his children how to be saved. You know, you don't need to turn, but in Genesis 3:21, it says that God clothed Adam and Eve after they sinned. An innocent lamb had to be killed so their nakedness could be covered. I've taught you this. And then you'll see in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it says he had two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel offered up a lamb. Cain offered up the works of his fruit of his hands. God had respect unto Abel's offering, Genesis chapter 4. You know why God had the respect to Abel's offering? Because he offered up a lamb saying, hey, I know that by shedding this blood of this lamb, one day there's going to be a Savior is going to come, which Jesus was the Lamb of God that shed his blood for my sins and yours. He was showing, God, I believe there's going to be a Savior to come. Who taught? Wonder why Abel did that. Abel did that because Adam taught him. The Lord showed me a scripture this week that I've been pondering about for the last few months. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. Look at verse 25. Adam knew his wife. So Cain killed Abel and Eddie. So now Adam and Eve, the only son that believed on God, he's dead. And Cain, he doesn't believe in God. Are you with me? Adam knew his wife. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. Means appointed. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Watch the next verse. I thought about this for a while, and the Lord showed me this week. And to Seth, and to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. When Enos came, then men started to call on the name of the Lord. Interesting. And I thought about it. Men became to call upon the Lord because their fathers passed it down. See, with Cain, there was no one to pass it down. They didn't call. All Cain's children didn't call upon the Lord. They didn't believe in God. They weren't taught by their father. But see, Adam had Seth, and Seth had Enos. And see, Adam taught Seth, and Seth taught Enos. And men, as the fathers kept teaching their sons, as the fathers kept teaching their children about the Savior, about the Creator, about God, they started to pass it on down. See, you men, we need to pass on down to our children the things of God. Bobby, it's important that we pass it on because God even it does some. And then men started to call. Why? Because they were the men that were alive started to teach about the Savior Christ. Are you still with me, church? It is good. Listen, men, what are you passing on to your children? Men, what are you passing on to your children? What will your children pass on to their children? Yeah, it depends a lot. I'm doing all I can to put David and them and my kids and my grandkids so if the Lord doesn't come, they'll pass it on too. I'm a first-generation Christian. My mom and dad never told me about the Lord. My grandma and grandpa never told me about the Lord. Fortunately, I met Rosie. And Rosie took me to hear the Word of God. I love it. I talked to my sister Patty the other day. And we were talking about my sister Leslie. And she said, but Rich, she said, oh, we're so thankful for Rosie. They ain't thankful for me at all. She said, we just love Rosie to death. All the family just thank God for Rosie. Oh, we know you told us, but it went for Rosie. I'm the one that went and witnessed to him. Rosie always gets everything. Because she deserves it. And she went, she said, if God wouldn't have brought Rosie into your life, you would have never got saved because you had never heard about Christ. Then you would have never came and told us, and we would have never got saved. Instead of saying, my brother, we sure love you. I'm so glad you love me, came and told me. No, boy, we sure love Rosie. And after I got saved, I went and told my mama and all my family, my grandmas, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles. A lot of them went to heaven because of that. But they'll all tell you it wasn't because of me. It was because of Rosie. But I'll tell you right now, you need to be concerned about passing it on. But what are you going to leave behind? What are you going to leave behind? I wrote Mr. and Mrs. Wilson, Eddie's mom and dad, a letter a few weeks ago. And I thank Mr. and Mrs. Wilson, Grandpa Wilson, seniors. There's so many, I don't know how many Floyds are, whatever. He's the first one. Eddie's somewhere in the second, third, somewhere in there. There's so many. But Eddie Wilson and his dad, not little Eddie, Grandpa, little Eddie's grandpa. And I wrote him a letter, him and his wife, and I said, I want to thank you not only for helping in the spaghetti dinner and doing the land out there for our church land. But I want to thank you for the heritage. I want to thank you for the heritage of your children and your children's children. Because your children and your children's children are a big part of Bethel Baptist Church. Thank God for godly parents that passed it down. What are they going to say about you? Oh, I know what they're going to say about me. He had a bad temper. But one thing he did, though, he told his kids about Jesus. He might have a bunch of more bad about me than there is good, but one thing they're going to have to say, he told his kids about Jesus. He prayed with his kids. He took his kids to church. He read the Bible to his children. He taught them and he tried to live the principles of the Bible before their lives. I'm far from being perfect. I got a lot of holes in my life. But I have tried the best of my ability to show Jesus to my kids. I guess, fathers, that would be the greatest thing you would want to do for your kids. Amen? And then I'm going to close with this. Time's up. But I just want to give you a last thought. I believe every husband ought to be willing to give his life for his bride. Don't turn to it. I'm just going to quote you a scripture. I usually try to bring this on Father's Day because it's such a great spiritual truth. In Romans 5:14, it says that Adam was a figure of him to come. The first Adam was in type or a figure, Romans 5:14, of Jesus, the last Adam to come. But when you read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, you'll see that Adam was there when Eve sinned. She ate and she didn't give her husband to eat. The question is, why did Adam eat? He knew the moment he would die. Why would he knew it? See, the Bible says Adam was not the woman was deceived, but Adam was not. Adam openly took that sin. Adam openly partook of his bride's sin. He did it willingly. Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. Adam loved his... Listen, can you imagine Adam? He knew the moment Eve took that, she was going to die. Because God said, you take that, you're going to die. And the moment she took it, Jackie, he knew she was going to die and leave him. I think he might have thought about the animals, Eddie. He looked out and saw all the animals with all their mates. But for Adam, there was none. Maybe he thought about God's words. And it was not good that man be alone. But why did Adam take of that? In Genesis 3:6, I'm telling you the reason Adam took of that forbidden fruit. I don't know what it was. It was forbidden fruit. The Bible doesn't say it was an apple or grape. We don't know what it was. Forbidden. Whatever it was forbidden. Why did Adam do it? He loved his bride so much that he was willing to die, openly partake of her sin so he could be with her. And 4,000 years later, at Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, loved his bride so much. He loved his bride so much that he openly partook of his bride's sin that he might be with us forever. Amen. And Adam said to Eve, I love you. I love you. And I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus, the last Adam, said to all that will put his faith in him for you, I love you. I love you. I died for you on Calvary's cross. I arose. I'm in heaven. And can you hear the echoes of heaven today? So much that I died so you could be with me. I love you. I love you. By the way, fellas, I'm done. That's on the lips of Jesus. I love you. It ought to be on the lips of us for that wife. On Father's Day today, maybe it'd be a good thing to tell your bride, I love you. And you kids, you could tell Dad, thanks for being a good dad. I love you, Dad. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Bless these men. Bless their homes. Oh, God, help strengthen these homes. Help these men to know that they should take the spiritual lead. They should be reading the Bible. They should be taking the people to church. They should be caring if they're on time or not. They should be sharing about Jesus. They should be loving that wife that you gave them. They need to be teaching their children the things of God and not provoking them. As Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't not provoke your children to anger and wrath, but teach them. Nurture them and the admonition the fear of God. Lord, I just pray with all my heart. You'll bless our homes today at Bethel Baptist Church. Bless all these men. Help them to be the man that God would want them to be. And Lord, I pray you'll bless America. Raise up some men, godly men, that can make our country great. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved." Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Thank you. You may put him down. Would there be anyone here today to say, "Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to make Christ my Savior today. I want to know when I die, go to heaven." Would you pray for me? Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I won't come to you, won't embarrass you. I will pray for you. "I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me." How many would say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. God spoke to my heart today. I'm not the husband that I should be. I'm not the man that God wants me to be. By God's grace, I'm going to start doing what God wants. By His grace, pray for me." Who'd say that? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you. God bless you. "Preacher, by God's grace, I'm going to be that man that God wants. I'm going to be that." Yes, sir. God bless you. Father, bless us today. Encourage every person here. O dove of heaven, come down. Come down and meet with every one of our lives. Help bring the sweet smell and savor of God into every home. Oh God, help these men to be men that God would be pleased with. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page, John Dave?
17.
Page 17.